Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, let's do it. It's Monday. Tiki and Tierney back to it here. CBS Sports Radio coming to you from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better, Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage on this President's Day. So many of you are off. And maybe a little slopage with the kids. You know, a lot of people go skiing on these this week. You know, obviously a nice chance to get away and maybe do some things. So if you're driving around and you want to get your sports fix, Teak and I got it for you. A nice fun weekend, a little bit of everything. Do a little XFL later, a little bit. Miles Garrett and the Mike Tomlin interview. Well, Mike Tomlin interview today was really interesting. Rob Manfred spoke over the weekend, something you and I will really hammer at the top of the next hour. But the All-Star game was kind of fun.
It was.
Kind of good.
For the first time in a long time, BT, I felt like I wanted to watch it all the way to the end. Now, this was before I even, like, tuned it in. I kind of just wanted to see what this experimental Elam ending was all about. And I know most people are probably aware of what that is now after watching the All-Star game. If not watching it, then seeing the reports about it or watching the highlights of it, essentially, to combat this was in the regular season. This is a regular game. This is an exhibition game, so forget that we're talking about an exhibition game. The Elam ending is to combat, like, teams fouling to death at the end of games and slowing it down and basically just shooting free throw after free throw. It becomes grossly inefficient. Like, all these things that you hate about the end of regular basketball games, the Elam ending says, let's pick a predetermined score. In the case in the All-Star game, it was the leading team score, which was Giannis's team at 133 plus 24 points. So the winning score would be 157. Whoever gets 157 first wins. And it turned out to be awesome because the energy was great. From start with Kawhi knocking down, you know, three-pointer after three-pointer after three-pointer, and obviously winning the MVP. But also, like, it was competitive to the very end. It's like the guys actually cared. And I feel like watching the All-Star game for so many years, like, they didn't care, so why would I care? You know?
Seriously. Yeah. No, I hear you. I'm a little less enthusiastic about, you know, maybe this becoming a staple on some levels, which you and I will discuss next segment more specifically here. Listen, I've sat through a ton of games, and heck, I might be sitting through one tonight. Got a game at the Garden with St. John's and Xavier where, I mean, it's just, it's mind-bending how the constant stoppages and the lack of flow and the disjointed, you know, dysfunctional nature of, and just how a bad of officiating's become.
Yeah.
I get it. I understand we're looking for a solution here, but the only reason I'm going to throw a little cold water on this Elam, you know, not even a theory because it's been applied, Elam practice.
Yeah.
Why I think it's, it sounds and it felt a little bit better than it might next year and the year after, it's because of Kobe. There's no way those players were going on that court last night and half-assing it. They weren't not in the final moments of the game. They had a little fun, as you're supposed to. Chris Paul catching alley-oops, which was insane. Trae Young hitting a 50-footer. I mean, it was a fun game, but
you get
that every All-Star game. I don't think, you know, if we fast forward to next year, it's still going to be the Kobe Bryant All-Star, you know, MVP award, which is a great thing. And Kawhi was phenomenal here. I thought he spoke very eloquently post-game about that.
Agreed.
But if you take away the backdrop of the ominous, the sadness, the thickness, the morbidity of losing Kobe and Gigi and the seven others, I just don't think the players will be inspired, whether it's Elam, whether it's Columbia, whether it's Virginia, whether it's Marist. I don't care what professor comes up with some sort of concoction. They played for Kobe.
Yes.
They played hard for Kobe.
Look, I don't disagree with that. And, you know, it was fitting that Kawhi, who is rising to be this new superstar, filling, you know, as LeBron ages out a little bit, Kawhi starting to take that mantle. obviously two finals MVPs. He's got a Defensive Player of the Year award. He's just a phenomenal player. Now he's got an All-Star MVP to go along with it. The only one, I think, in history other than Michael Jordan. I think that's the
stat I heard.
There's two of
them. He's the second.
He's the second one. So it's fitting that he won this award. He's phenomenal. What he did in Toronto last year was just, it just feels unprecedented. Who comes in kind of reluctantly for a season and wins a title for a team that wasn't close to winning it? I mean, they've been close in the postseason, but you know what I mean? It never felt like they were going to break through. Kawhi helps him break through. So, yeah, it was really fitting that Kawhi won that first ever Kobe Bryant MVP award. But, I mean, I think that just think about, like, competing. Like, when you went and played one-on-one with your buddy in the backyard.
Did it all the time.
Right? And me too, with my twin, with Rondé. So whenever you're, like, racing to a score, mm-hmm. whether that's, like, horse, I got to get the E or whatever.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
It's just more interesting than to have some nebulous ending that's, yeah, the clock runs out, it's over. Like, is it?
There's more urgency. I'm not going to dispute
that.
Like,
there's an urgency, which I think, even if you don't care, so even if they fall back emotionally a little bit next year, or let's say 5 years from now, and it's not as top of mind, or
it's not going to be. Important. It's naive to think it's going to be.
Agreed.
It's not going
so,
to be.
So let's say when it happens, mm-hmm. 5 years from now, I think the idea that you're competing to a point means something. You know what I mean? And you almost see this in the regular season too, and like an innocuous Tuesday game in, I don't know, November.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, okay, whatever. The clock runs out, game's over.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're trying to beat someone else to a point, it just seems more interesting. And I think from you almost can't help it, is my point. Like, you can't help but try to win, even if you know that you're a little bit too far behind.
No, I thought it was great.
I liked it. I think it was it was entertaining. It was interesting.
Fun.
You tuned in for so many reasons this weekend for the whole thing, whether it was the dunk contest, which we'll get to, the three-point contest, which Buddy Hield was like hungover. Like, you couldn't believe the day of the contest from being out on Friday. He still ended up winning. Sometimes that helps you focus.
Mm-hmm.
But it was an important weekend, I think, for the NBA. I think they handled it exactly right.
I thought it was magnificent. I mean, I couldn't wait to tune in. I first of all, you know, I don't know when I first heard Common's voice, and they had mm-hmm. you know, the, and it was an homage to Kobe's story about falling in love with the game, and they had, you know, a kid looked like he was about 10-ish or so, and Common comes out, and I hear Common's voice, and I'm saying, I initially thought it was taped. Like, I thought it was recorded.
Yeah.
And then you knew it wasn't, because he wound up doing about a 4 or 5 minute, you know, not a song, but a poem.
Yeah.
Didn't even come close to stumbling once.
Mm-hmm.
That was amazing. And the way they connected the thread, you know, from all the players from Chicago, it was phenomenal. So Chicago put on a great show. It was fun. It was fast. It was enthusiastic. It was, you know, it properly genuflected where it needed to. And you knew that the NBA would crush this out of the park.
Yep.
Not for one second did you think that they wouldn't do this right. And just contrast this to the Pro Bowl for a second.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just contrast the show and the spectacle of last night to the Pro Bowl.
Well, it's why
it's
why the NFL is at such a disadvantage. You can't play the game recreationally without playing it like hard.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's going to do that.
But it doesn't even feel big. I agree. Like, the components of the game.
Yeah, I know what you're
saying.
That's
true, but you got to find a way to spice it up a little bit.
Yeah, make it feel elevated.
Nobody does it like the NBA.
No, the NBA.
Nobody.
I guess, you know, and to an extent, Major League Baseball is that way also, because the game, even if you're half-assing it in baseball,
yep.
you're still getting like 90 mile an hour fastballs or 90, whatever it is. Guys are still, you know, going yard or you still
running hard first to third.
Exactly.
No,
you got to make the plays. Like, routinely making the plays looks impressive in baseball, right? Same thing in basketball. Like, routinely making a play in football, like casually, it looks horrible. It's unwatchable, to be honest with you. It's like practice.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the problem with the NFL and the All-Star games is that it's essentially glorified practice.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody wants to get hurt.
Nobody, and I blame them.
I don't either.
That's why.
Especially because they've been off. Some of these guys have been off for a month.
Yeah, I know. True.
You know what I mean?
But that's why I'm less bullish on the continuation of the energy into next year for the NBA. Back to them.
Yeah.
And the year after, if they continue with this Elam backdrop, this template, this scoring template, I'd like to find a way to make it overly punitive. Like in college, obviously, you get to the 1-1, you hit you hit seven team fouls, it's 1-1, you get to 10, it's double bonus the rest of the way. I like to find a way to make it more punitive in at every level.
You're talking about in regular season games.
Correct.
Like, not an exhibition.
Not the All-Star.
Not an All-Star game.
Not the All-Star, not an exhibition. Where it really dissuades teams from fouling. Just a litany of fouls. This you're just bombarded with fouls. You know, I don't know what that is, but I don't know. If you get, like, say for college, if you get over 10, you get 4 free throws.
Yeah,
I don't know,
yeah.
Because they think you kind of end basket foul,
would end it,
basket foul,
way,
basket
that
foul,
would,
missed foul.
That would end it.
That would absolutely at least make it more of a strategical.
Or make it, you know, to not fully change it completely, make once you get 10, make it a technical. So you get shots and the ball, right?
Because then that totally takes away. You're fouling to get the ball back.
Exactly.
If I foul you and I don't get the ball back, whether you make or miss, it's irrelevant.
Doesn't matter.
That would obviously dissuade. That would be a monster deterrent. There's ways to tweak this. Again, gimmicky, that's fine. I'm okay with gimmicks.
Yeah.
Once in a while, I think it's fun to trot out a gimmick. And that's what makes the NBA, aside from the dynamic nature of these athletes, I mean, who the hell thought Chris Paul had that in his legs at this point? I mean, he didn't even, like, barely squeak it down.
That's right.
I mean, his legs flew up to basically the top of the backboard.
He's been holding out, man.
He's been holding out. He's healthy. He's had a great year. It was, I mean, you look at these guys, Giannis, and just what, and we watch the NBA every night, so we see it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see a collection of 10, you know, not everybody's a superstar, you know, but most, you know, some are ascending and some are obviously titans of the game. When you see 10 of these types of players on the court, the free flowing nature of the game, the NBA is awesome.
Yeah.
Basketball is phenomenal.
You know what it also,
I love basketball.
You know what it also,
I just love it.
You know what it also kind of tells me? And I hate to say it, but I will. There's not enough superstars. There's too many, like, average players.
Right now?
Right now. Because, so here's what I mean by that.
Go ahead.
Like, when you get all of these guys, like, the best of the best playing against each other.
Yep.
Look how exciting it is, right? You just, it's like, you want to watch it. You want to see them engage. You want to see them do, you know, crazy things. But then you look at the NBA in total with 30 teams, and it's like, some of these teams don't have any stars on them. You know, it's just like
my team.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, why are you watching that? Why are you watching? Why would you watch?
Because you're a fan of the team.
Because you're a fan of the team. But why are you a fan of the team? You know what I mean?
Wow.
And so
that goes back.
I agree. You know what I mean?
I got you.
Get what I'm saying.
I got you.
Especially in today's world, where, like, you gravitate towards players.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're watching on a Tuesday, again, I'll throw out the Tuesday reference for an average game, and there's no star.
Mm-hmm.
Are you really committed to it?
No. If it's like the Cavaliers versus the Knicks,
so
and you don't have
enough,
a betting interest or more directly a fan of it. No, you have no interest.
So there's
in the
just
game.
Not enough. Like this informs you.
But that applies to every sport.
I 100% agree. But in basketball, it's more prevalent because it's on every single night.
But I think it's cyclical. Listen, Zion. First of all, Zion's going to be in this game next year, which changes everything.
True.
And I think when I do hear what you mean. Like, when you look back, and I mentioned Common's intro.
Mm-hmm.
And they flashed over all the All-Star, a good chunk of the All-Star games. And, you know, when we were first introduced to the game, Bird, Magic, Dr. J. Dr. J was pretty much cooked at that point. But, you know,
but he was still Dr. J.
He still was. And he's just got this graceful, you know, the sage presence, which is awesome. Good to see him there as well. But I think that last night, while there's certainly LeBron and Giannis and a few others that transcend the game, I think when we look back on the players on the court, in about 5 or 10 years, it will feel different. Doncic might very well have a singular MVP, if not more.
Good point.
You know, and then championships have a way of elevating how we perceive players.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if Brandon Ingram ever gets to the NBA Finals with Zion, et cetera, it changes his profile.
That's a good point.
Same with Jason Tatum. Does he win a championship? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it changes things.
Yeah.
But last night was awesome. The NBA hit every stop. You know, Magic was going off script, which, you know, Magic's not the best public speaker. He's just not. But he spoke from the heart, and by no means am I going to critique him for that. He hit what needed to be hit, and it was really a great night for the NBA, which was pretty awesome. Good stuff. 1-855-212-4227, Tiki and Tierney Show. So, all right, not surprisingly, we disagree fundamentally on this here. The new methods of scoring in the All-Star game, again, for me, cool, a little quirky, fun for a night, isolated night. This guy to my left might be willing to not only implement this in the NBA, but he might be willing to do this in the NCAA. Oh, my God. We're going to have to get into a little knockdown over this, I can tell. So we'll get to that. Inbounds, out of bounds coming up as well this hour. Rob Manfred was horrendous. Absolutely, pitifully, woefully bad. We'll get to that at 4 Eastern when he spoke over the weekend. So we're going to get all the pieces and tie them all together for you from a busy sports weekend. But we'll get with this more of the scoring system. He loves it, possibly, as a future. I don't know. I don't. We'll get to that more. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
It's O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop in today for store-wide savings, plus earn double O'Rewards points on all sale items like wiper blades, motor oil, tools, accessories, and more. Not an O'Rewards member yet? Head to O'ReillyAuto.com or visit in-store to sign up today and take advantage of Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's fast, easy, and free. But hurry, double points are only available for a limited time. Also, for a limited time, save 15% when you buy any set of Brake Best pads and 2 Brake Best rotors. So when your car isn't stopping like it used to, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the brake parts and supplies you need to do the job right the first time. O'Reilly Auto Parts will help make your auto repair, maintenance, and restoration projects easier. So stop in today or visit online and rack up double O'Rewards points during Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
All right. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here on Tiki and Tierney is 1-855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote, geico.com. Tiki and Tierney here. President's Day version of the show. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. Twitter, Tiki and Tierney. All right, Teak, I'll get inbounds, out of bounds coming up next segment. Top of the hour, so about 35-ish, 37 minutes from now, we'll just go deep on Manfred. 45-minute sit-down with ESPN over the weekend. A lot of things to pick apart. Mike Trout spoken up. Yep. Justin Turner's destroyed Manfred. It's not going away.
Yeah,
like we told you, it wouldn't be anytime soon.
Look, I was listening to Jim Rome, who's on right before us, BT,
yep.
And he made a comment that I didn't think about until he said it. I was like, he's absolutely right. Mike Trout never talks. Like, you never hear sound bites from Mike Trout.
Nope.
He's one of the greatest players in Major League Baseball, but he would prefer to be anonymous, at least as far as his voice is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he's out there raking it on game days and et cetera. But, like, for him to comment on this also, and I guess obviously he was also addressing the HGH rumors from, like, two or three months ago or so. But for him to address it and to, like, take aside, it was like, wow, that's odd.
We're going to get to it. Yeah. I think he's got a responsibility to the sport to speak.
I think you're absolutely right. But the fact that he did it, and he rarely does.
Good for him.
It's great for him.
Stepping out of character.
But also tells you a lot about the state of the perception of the game from a lot of its players.
How deeply rooted that hatred in the sporting sense runs right now.
He completely missed it.
Yeah, it was bad. All right. So, a little birdie was chirping this morning. Tell me that I can't believe you actually believe this, that you are willing, all right, to begin with an experimental phase and your defense in the G League.
Exactly.
You set this up. With the possibility of this scoring system from last night, was great last night, permeating the NBA.
I don't know if it would ever permeate the NBA, but it was really interesting. And so, like, the theory behind it makes so much sense. And it just... there's ways to test it. And just like the Major League Baseball has their independent leagues that they test, umpires or the shot clock or the pitch clock, I should say, from baseball. We see all these things get tested in the lower leagues of major sports.
Yep, independent circuit usually.
Yeah, independent circuit.
Arizona Fall League, yep.
Something like that. Well, the NBA has this exact vehicle to test whatever, whether it would be the suggestion that you had, give him 3 foul shots or 4 or technical after 10, so that it reduces the end of game timing, right? It just slows down to a bog. I mean, it's almost like a cliche, like a joke. Like, oh, you got 2 minutes left. All right, see you in 30. It's painful,
it's
man.
It's painful.
And that's all levels. That's like college. I mean, not really in high school, but it's certainly in college. It's definitely in the NBA. And so this Elam ending is unique because it forces a team to race towards a goal point total. And whatever that total is it can be determined. It's usually like they did in the NBA All-Star game. It was the top team score plus 24. It would usually be whatever the top score is plus something else for the fourth quarter. And it's not timed. And so think about it. Like if the team got really hot and it was like, say, add 30 points, they could shoot 3 10-pointers and the game's over in like 8 minutes. And that would probably be detrimental to an extent, but it would be exciting. Especially teams that have perfected the efficiency of shooting. And so I think the NBA, especially after the success at the All-Star game, should think about implementing this in the G League.
Stop.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they loved it so much that they found ways to bring it into other types of exhibitions. Like think about the Olympics or think about, I don't know, these other international events that are always looking for ways to generate new interest.
Well, because they kind of have to.
They have to. The game isn't the same.
Now, the XFL's got to do something quirky. I don't know that the
right,
NBA
if
Madness does. Come on.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's ready for prime time, meaning put this in the NBA.
No, it's not ready for that.
Next year or even 3-4 years from now. But I would watch G League games if I knew that this was being experimented with. Seriously, I would. Just to see.
All right.
It's like it's so unique that it's compelling.
Yeah.
So,
well, if you're curious, they run a few on MSG, the Knicks, and yes, network, locally. I mean, really, they do. They run some G-League stuff on NBA TV.
You do see it locally here.
You can
every
start
now
hopping
then
and taking notes.
I want to watch that because it's just lower level NBA. But if there was like a quirk to it that would make it more interesting, I would watch it.
I don't think there's anything broken, outside of the fouls, which obviously needs to be addressed. Here's the thing, and I am fundamentally with you on this one very important point. You do need to find a way to navigate the end of games here somehow. Mm-hmm. Because the proliferation of the three-point shot, think about this. If you're down by 9 points, and you're down by 9 points 20 years ago, when, you might have once a Trent Tucker and Craig Hodges that can take threes.
Yep.
One guy on each team really has a license
to
let it go.
You have a license. Everybody else,
Nobody else.
Even think about it.
Yeah, exactly. Dale Ellis. I mean, there's a few guys, right? Now, if you're down by 9 with a minute and a half to go, it's 3 makes and 3 stops. You got a chance.
That's right.
If there's no, but because the 3-point shot has become so easy that everybody almost feels inherently, unless you're down by 20 or 15, you don't call off the horses. So that's the first thing that forget about the NBA that basketball needs to react to.
Mm-hmm.
The ability for everybody to make threes at a resounding rate right now. They need to examine this. So I am with you there fundamentally. Where I make an abrupt U-turn and I exit the highway for good here is that, I'm of the mindset that unless it's truly broken beyond belief, like the steroids, like where you have to really implement something that is going to be forceful and vigilant.
Yes.
I'm not in the business of just changing things because it looked good one night. I mean, imagine if the PGA Tour comes out and says, you know what? We're going to adopt the Stableford scoring system for every PGA event. So if you get a double eagle, you get 8 points. If you get an eagle, you get 5. I believe a birdie is 2. A par is none.
Yep.
A bogey is -1. And anything double bogey or worse, I believe, is -3. It's somewhere around there. Imagine, why would you do that?
No, you
don't need to do that.
And not for the majors, but if you were watching some whatever sponsored.
That wouldn't compel me to watch it more.
Whatever event.
No, it's confusing.
But I bet it would for the lay fan.
Here's another question for you, Teak. And I'm serious about this. What do you do? Like, I was actually thinking about betting the game last night.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe mess around, take the over. Maybe do a little. Whatever. The West, I thought LeBron's roster was infinitely more powerful. I mean, because it was basically West versus East. I didn't know how to bet because. How do you bet the over when you don't know the... Even allow you to bet? I didn't even go on my site and check, but I thought about
it. Good question.
And I'm saying, if you want to bet, the way this is going to be, this new adding 24 points for Kobe, which is a great symbolic gesture, nobody knows, what's the delineation?
Yeah,
nobody. Are we going to guess that they have 130 at the or 230? Who knows?
Yeah.
I bet you could even bet on the game.
I bet you probably could not unless they did it at as a prop at the end of the third quarter.
And then they reset every quarter. How are you going to bet the first half?
Well, this wouldn't be the if they implemented this, it wouldn't be like that. It was set that way for charity.
Which was a great thing. $100,000.
I thought it was fantastic. Awesome. I don't know. It's a good question about the over-under.
I'm very curious about
because
I'm not touching this. I don't know what the hell's going on.
You're right. Because they could have been at like 110, and then the final score ends at, you know,
it's like having seven overtime. You bet the under, and then there's like seven overtimes. You're sitting there in the a conventional game. Oh, I got the under. I'm sweet. I'm good to
go. I'm just saying.
Scoring game. Seven overtimes later, you lose.
If there were G League games that implemented this, I would watch it just to see.
But why?
Just because it's interesting.
Because
different.
You think they play harder?
Yes, they
okay.
do. Well,
I agree with that.
They play harder and more efficiently. And this is statistically proven by Nick Elam, who was the professor at Ball State who developed this system, is that once you get into that hack-a-foul or whatever the heck you want to call it at the end of games and to try to catch up, the game gets so disjointed that shooting efficiency turns to crap also. So not only does scoring slow down and the clock is stopped every 5 seconds for fouls, but like the actually good players, they start shooting less effectively and efficiently. And so It keeps the natural flow of the game going to a point where you race to the end. It would be interesting to experiment with.
Okay.
I'm not saying that the NBA should go to this.
But no, I know you're not.
If they want to trial it in the G League, I would be more than happy to watch it.
Now, I've heard others. I got you. I've heard others say, well, maybe the NCAA should find a way to get this. And Mike found this pretty interesting. I want to see if I can do this quickly here. This is a couple of years old, but the game hasn't changed that much. Over the first two rounds back in 2014, all right, they did a study, which isn't really a study, it's just reacting. I mean, how long was the game? And then they extrapolated from the length of the game over the first 39 minutes, the length of time for the last minute of the game, all right? And by an example here, now, I don't know if this was, I don't know what the seeds were. I don't have that in front of 5-12 matchup, whatever it was. Syracuse versus Dayton. The first 39 minutes were 133 minutes, okay? The last minute, 14 and a half minutes to play 1 minute. To play 1 minute, all right? The average of the last minute for the entire two first rounds of 2014 was a tick below 6 minutes.
Yeah, and in the NCAA, it's even worse because they really start doing
this. This is the NCAA.
That's what I mean, though. Yeah. So as we have been talking about the NBA and the G League in the NBA, the NCAA, it's significantly worse, this strategy, because they know that they can catch
up. Season's over. Plus,
And they know they can catch up because you put these bad free throw shooters, these college kids who are shooting 38% or whatever, the heck it might be, you know you're going to be able to catch up. Mm-hmm. Right? Virginia did this last year, right? Tony Bennett's employment of the hack of whoever to keep them in those couple of games in the semifinal and then ultimately in the finals, or no, the Elite Eight and then the Final Four was unbelievable, right? It's why they won, because they were able to hack guys, foul them, get the rebounds, and go score, right? So it's important in the NCAA, probably more so than it is in the NBA.
You also need the right matchup, though, because Virginia's playing teams that shoot 80% from the stripe.
But they knew they weren't.
No doubt. The thing that I would say, just to end it, you know, from at least from the NCAA perspective, while this, and I'm holding, if you watch this on TV, this is a pretty, you know, this sheet, it is interesting. I mean, when you look at Wisconsin, Oregon, the final, you know, the last minutes, it was 15.1 minutes to finish. It's nuts.
Yeah.
That's absolutely insane. New Mexico, Stanford, 14 minutes. Wichita State, Kentucky, 13 minutes. This is not like just uniquely selecting a few. A lot of these are incredibly and unnecessarily long.
Even Duke Mercer.
Oh, Mercer won the game.
Duke Mercer. It took 10 minutes.
Well, that's because Duke didn't want to give up.
I know it. I'm saying.
Here's the thing, though. I don't think it's that big of a deal. And this is over the first two rounds. In college basketball, you're never stuck with one game. Yeah, you're stuck with one potentially bad national semifinal game. You know, you might be stuck with a bad who was it? With Jared Jeffries, Indiana, Maryland all those years ago. 17, 18 years ago. It was a horrendous championship game. And, Indiana had nothing. They got destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And you stuck with it because it's the championship. But at least if you're watching the first two rounds, you know, True TV, CBS, you bounce around. And plus, the networks do a good job of alerting you, you know, where the competitive games are. Boom, you go right to it. So if it's too lengthy for you at the end of a game, you could check out. But then again, if you check out, you might miss a unique ending.
That's right.
Yeah. Listen, nothing's perfect. Everybody wants to reinvent the wheel. Honestly, I mean, basketball's fine.
I'm not saying reinvent the wheel. I'm just saying experiment with inventing a new wheel.
A more efficient wheel. Understood. All right. Here's a question for you. Are NFL teams actually losing interest in the combine? Just think about that statement. Are NFL teams losing interest in the combine? The trend suggests yes, and we'll get to that coming up after Axe Update, which is right now. All right, Tiki and Tierney here on this President's Day. Hopefully everybody's having a good time. Maybe most of you probably have a chance to stay away from the office. Kids are off, so that's probably worse than being at work on some level. It's time to ask the pros here. Tiki, give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Just tweet us a little later on at CBS Sports Radio and use the hashtag Ask the Pros to identify it more clearly, and make sure you stick around and listen later on. Tiki and I will answer the best one. NBA All-Star Game, Rob Manfred, Mike Trout speaking out, Turner speaking out from the Dodgers, all sorts of possibilities. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs, guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. By the way, cool new lighting vibe in the studio.
Looks good.
It looks great.
Feels good.
Our eyes are not getting seared anymore.
I know.
I mean, it's probably too late, the damage.
Yeah,
but
you're right.
Wow.
It feels
awesome.
Maybe
it's
the reason I had to start wearing reading glasses.
Me too. I'm waiting for mine. Mine should be ready actually this week.
We also are getting old. BT.
Yeah, in your 40s, you start to get that for sure. Right. But then all we do is read and watch stuff.
And now everything is all illuminated screens as opposed to like paper and everything else, which is obviously calmer on your eyes.
Dude, I'm useless with the menu at this point.
Yeah, no.
I'm useless.
I got to have the light. I got to use my flashlight because all these restaurants are like pitch black these days.
They're so dark for the ambiance.
I
used to laugh.
Which is cool.
Yeah, sure. You know, definitely cool. I get it. But I used to laugh at my grandmother. She used to love horse racing. Mm-hmm. Love horse racing.
She couldn't look.
She's on the Italian side.
She couldn't look at the slips.
Well, in the newspaper, she would do it. And she would have her magnifying glass. And she would, you know, start near the seventh race. And I'd laugh at her. And I hear you, Grandma. I get it. Eyes go a little bit, but the studio looks sweet. So we appreciate everybody on the TV side who came in off hours and put this together. Marlo kept us abreast all weekend. Actually, going back to before the weekend for sure, we knew that this was a company initiative for a couple of weeks now. It looks great, and we appreciate you guys. Really nicely done. Thank you very much. Inbounds, out of bounds. You ready, T?
Let's do it.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Tiki, here we go. So the NFL scouting combine kicks off next week with many athletes hoping to make a big impression on scouts, coaches, and GMs, obviously. However, in recent years, teams have placed less and less of an emphasis on the combine, and this year, and now the Broncos and the Rams are trying to take it to a new level. Denver's not sending any assistant coaches to Indy, while the Rams won't be sending their offensive or defensive coordinators either.
Yep.
Wow. In or out, not sending your top coaches to the combine is a mistake.
I'm going to say out of bounds, BT, because I feel like these coaches are getting their information that they really want from film study and from the personal interactions that happen when they do visits. Like, you have your target of four or five guys. You're going to invite them to personal visits. Also, this is from personal experience, BT. Mm-hmm. My pro day at the University of Virginia down in Charlottesville was so much better than my combine. Because the combine, it's overwhelming, right? It's almost too many moving parts. You're getting like measured every inch of your body. You're getting these tests for your hamstrings and your quads. You're running four. Like it's so overwhelming and so much information that in order to really get to know a guy, you got to dial in a little bit. And so the combine is so massive, you tend to miss the particulars. And so the pro days are becoming more important. I'm going to say out of bounds on this.
Wow. I'm going to say inbounds here. Listen, not to suggest that, like, the Senior Bowl, that backdrop isn't more informative and more advantageous than, say, the scouting combine, which is a meat market. We all saw the image of Brady and his boxers, and that's what it's all about. They poke you and they prod you like a lab rat.
Yep.
And, you know, you get drafted. But to me, even if you gather, you know, 1% more information than you would have accrued by not going, it's worth it. Information is power.
Yeah, but you have guys there doing it, just not the coaches. It's a waste of the coach's time, right?
What else is the coach going to be doing? What else is the coach going to be doing?
Developing new systems? I don't know. It's a good question. You're right. I mean, go for a day. It's fine. I hear you. Definitely go.
I don't think it's a cost issue. Just get on the team jet.
No,
everybody flies out there on the team jet. You're all staying at the same hotels. I mean, I don't get this. I don't, you know, what you can deduce with your own eyes, even if it's something subtle. I'm not saying film the all 22. I understand that.
Yep.
Getting to know kids, speaking with them, talking to their high school and college coaches. There's a million ways to get a sense of what a young man is all about. But if it's my team, I'm deploying everybody there to gather every ounce of data. It might not, listen, it's still an inexact science, so there's no guarantee that it works.
Mm-hmm.
But to not go to me is borderline reckless. When I read that this morning, I was absolutely flabbergasted, stunned, inbounds for me.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teague, number two here. How about this? So, Derrick Jones took home the NBA Slam Dunk Contest trophy this weekend. Nice size trophy, too.
Yeah.
Nice size trophy. But not without some controversy. Many feel that Magic forward Aaron Gordon was robbed of the title after scoring five straight 50s and getting a 47 on his final dunk despite jumping over the 7'5" Taco Fall.
They over 50, by the way.
Yeah, they did.
They over 50.
I agree.
It's like, come on now.
You know, they get wrapped up in the hey, 50. It is what it is. So, Gordon, though, was clearly upset after the contest.
We're here to do four dunks. You know what I mean? So, it's out of four dunks. It should be the best out of four dunks. I did four straight 50s. Five straight 50s. That's over. It's a wrap, you know? Let's go home. Four 50s in a row in an NBA dunk contest. It's over.
That's hard to argue with when he lays it out that way. Gordon continued by saying he's done with dunk contests after being robbed as well back in 2016.
It's a wrap, bro. It's a wrap. I feel like I should have two trophies. You know what I mean? So it's over for that. My next goal is going to be trying to win the three-point contest.
Okay. There you go. Inbounds, out of bounds. Aaron Gordon was robbed of the dunk.
Out of bounds, BT. First of all, who cares? This is a dunk contest.
I'll co-sign that.
Just entertain us. Give them all trophies. If there's one thing where I will espouse a participation trophy, it's in the dunk contest.
Really?
Because what they're doing is just all – it's all amazing, you know, the athleticism of these guys. But specifically – to Aaron Gordon's Taco Fall dunk, we'll call it. He clearly, like, pushed off of Taco Fall's body to lift himself up.
His shoulder, I thought.
Well, actually, a little lower. He grabbed the ball, pushed it down at the Taco Fall, which lifted him up, and then he dunked it. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
He didn't, like, clear Taco. He didn't clear 7'5".
He didn't.
So you weren't robbed, and who cares? So out of bounds.
I agree with both sentiments here. I don't get worked up over this. I just don't. I don't have the sporting energy to do it. I mean, to waste a segment or, you know, to show real, like, emotion over who didn't win. I don't care. I appreciate you showing up. I appreciate the dexterity and the creativity.
Yep.
I do agree with Kenny Smith, who did say this over the during the broadcast. So my answer is out of bounds. He did say that Gordon is the most unique, you know, most creative dunker in the history of the slam dunk contest. And Kenny Smith was in it.
Yeah.
People forget Kenny was in it.
Well, Kenny was interesting because he was, you know, like, when you look at Kenny, you don't think of him as, like, this uber athlete.
No, you don't, because he's knock-kneed when he runs up to the board.
Exactly. But he actually was.
He was. I told you, I tried to emulate the dunk where he throws between his legs when his back is to the backboard.
Yeah.
He was with the Kings at that point. Kenny had hops. It's not a big deal. Listen, Derrick Jones was terrific. I even thought Dwight Howard's first dunk, that Statue of Liberty, where he kind of paused, was pretty good.
Again, he gets penalized because he's 6'10".
Yeah, but for somebody who's in his mid-30s, he was flying. So, you know, Derrick Jones was great. If Gordon won, great. I have no problem with the result. I'm with you.
Are you in or are you out?
This we could have an issue with, though. The college hoop season's winding down, and we're just a month away from Selection Sunday on CBS. However, this year's NCAA tournament is going to be lacking some serious firepower. Yeah. Of the projected top 10 picks in the 2020 draft, As many as 8 of the players likely won't be in this year's tournament, including projected, Mike and I were talking about this the other day, including projected number 1 overall Anthony Edwards from Georgia, Cole Anthony from UNC, James Wiseman, he's already done with Memphis. We knew that he withdrew. I mean, there's a lot of players. Ball, you have Hampton out in Australia. It's very unique. So the question is this. This is the least interested we've been in the tournament since we started following college basketball.
I'm going to say out of bounds of this, BT, only because I get interested in the team stories often more than I do in the individual player stories. And, like, are blue blood, is a blue blood going to win it this year? We had Baylor.
Yeah, Kansas has a chance.
Yep, we had Baylor's head coach on last week.
Drew.
And Scott Drew, exactly. They took on West Virginia.
Beat them by about 10 or so.
The mojo continues for Tiki and Tierney as they get that win. So I'll follow Baylor,
yeah,
simply because we like Scott Drew. He was awesome, by the way. You should go listen to the
interview.
Terrific interview. Get it on radio.com. But more energy than I thought that he would have.
He was awesome.
I didn't know what to expect, but he was amazing. So I think I'm going to say out of bounds because it becomes about the team stories. Just like with Virginia last year, it was a team story, even if you weren't really a Virginia fan.
Okay, I can sense that. I see why you would say that. I'm going to say in bounds, but it's all relative to my passion for the event, which is unwavering no matter what.
Yeah.
You know, on Thursday and Friday, you know, in high school, not in high school, but in grammar school, my mom would let me take a day off, and I just immersed myself. Like, it was a tradition like opening day. Obviously, we're working, which is awesome. We're all filling out the brackets. I love it. I do think San Diego State, I want to see what Dayton has. I want to see Seton Hall, who's actually stumbling late. And maybe they'll get their act together because they've been top 10 most of the season. You can't ignore this. The absence of star power does change the complexion. Doesn't mean it won't be great because it always is. Hour 2 coming up. Rob Manfred. He was awful. That's next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.